Hi, this is Axel Reed speaking, guitarist of Gravedigger and Domain, and you're listening to Dave Softee of Metal Meltdown. Maniacs, please welcome from Gravedigger and Domain, Iron Finger Axel Ritt. Welcome, Axel. Thank you for being here today.
Hello, Dave. I'm fine. It's an honor for me to get...
It's my pleasure to have you here. Metal Mom, I think she's a good friend of yours. She actually said, hey, could you interview Axel Ritt for me? I'm like, yeah, of course. Why not?
Oh, that's nice. Nice to hear. Metal Mom. Well, what's her real name? I'm sorry. I forgot
Sandra
it.
Newton. Sandra Newton.
Oh yeah. Oh no. All right.
Yeah, you sent her some CDs and all that stuff, and she was passing along some CDs as well. Let me ask you, how'd you get that nickname, Iron Finger?
That's a nice story. the name was given by my friends, by my colleagues, exactly, because I'm playing a very heavy gauge of guitar strings, and a friend of mine, he borrowed a guitar of mine, and he asked me, what the hell is this? If you're able to play strings like that, you have to have fingers of iron. So he said, okay, you must be Iron Finger, and that's how the nickname grew step by step.
Excellent. You just mentioned about your guitar. Can you tell us a little bit more about your guitar, and if you have any endorsements?
Yeah, I got some endorsements. At the moment, I used to play Gibson guitars a lot for many years, but in the last years, a lot of my instruments changed, and at the moment I'm a Fame endorser. Fame guitars, they are distributed in Germany by a music store, and they're built in Poland, and they're great guitars, pretty cheap for the quality, and I got two signature models by them. It's the Iron Finger style, the Zebra style, the black and white stuff, and you can see that the guitars on my website on www.axelrid.com or on Facebook or wherever, and great guitars, pretty cheap, as I said, and a great endorsement by the company. And I do some Fame amplifiers as well, called the Bulldozers, and great stuff.
Very cool. Yeah, I actually did notice that guitar, the black and white guitar on your pages. Awesome guitar. You look great too, dude. When you get out there on stage, the girls must be going crazy for you.
I hope so. That's a funny thing, because my wife did the layout of the guitar. Because I was looking for a very special layout. You can see on the big stages, you know. I got some guitars with these great maple tops and stuff like that, great-looking guitars. But when you're more than 2 meters away, you can't see the great tops, for example. And these black and white stuff, you can see 50 or 100 meters away on the big stages. And she came up with that idea, and she said, yeah, that could be a nice thing. And I think it's almost 20 years ago I started to put my guitars in this way, and it's great, and I love it. It's very easy to figure out where I'm standing on stage on big YouTube videos.
There you go, right? It stands out, surely. Well, actually, I gotta tell you, some of my favorite bands of all time come from Germany, from power metal to thrash metal. That being said, I gotta tell you, we are loving the latest from Gravedigger, The Clans Will Rise Again, but let's talk about that a little bit later. What I want to know about now, at this time, I'd like to know more about Domain. Have you been in Domain since the beginning?
Yes, I'm the last member of the very first lineup. So, let me think. I think it's 25 years ago when the band started in Germany and was one of these classical German melodic metal. In these days, we didn't call it melodic metal. It's more a kind of hard rock, melodic rock bands. And there are a lot of bands who started with us. Was something like Halloween, for example. We did bands like Axis and stuff like that, and we were one of the first from Germany who did it in this special kind of sound. Yeah. 25 years ago.
Has the sound of the band changed since its beginning? It started off more of like hard rock, and now it's more like power metal?
Yeah, something like that. It's pretty difficult to say how the band sound at the moment, because everybody got his special view of on the sound. Yeah, somebody call it melodic metal, other call it symphonic metal. The third party said it's power metal. I think it's a special mixture of everything. And the main thing is the songwriting. Yeah, I think the songwriting is we always got these melodies. We got these big choirs and stuff like that, and that's the main thing what keeps the band working for the last decades. But you're definitely right, the sound changed from hard rock to, well, it's metal in these days.
It's metal, absolutely. And Domain has about, I believe it's 9 full CDs out there, the latest being 2009's The Chronicles of Love, Hate, and Sorrow. Love the title of that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the title, it's a concept album, and it's of a great German poet, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, and he got what's the English name? It's the Sorrow of Young Goethe. I'm sorry, I don't know exactly what's in English. In German, it's Die Leiden des jungen Werther. And we did a kind of a concept album to put the whole story in. I think it's 11 songs, isn't it? Yeah. And the singer Nicola Runo wrote the whole story. He wrote all the lyrics, and I did the music for that. And so it's a big epic stuff with lots of German trademarks regarding sound and regarding dramatical stuff. And we got good critics, we got good reviews for the album. And to be honest, I'm very proud on that. To my opinion, it's the best album the man ever did, but as you can imagine, everybody got his own view on the stuff.
I would agree. It's a really good album. Very melodic, very powerful, and you shredded up on that. Excellent stuff. But you're the last surviving original member. There's been a lot of changes over the last 20 plus years then.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, you see, I think we got all in all... there have been, well, in 25 years, I think there are 15 or 20 different members in the band, all in all. And, you know, people change, and sometimes they don't change to the right way or the best way. And, you know what I mean? And some of the people, some of the members died as well. It's a very sad story.
That is sad.
And, And so, the actual lineup is a pretty stable lineup. We're together for, a few years, I think 3 or 4 years. Great guys, I love them a lot and I like them a lot. Great musicians, and I'm pretty sure that this lineup will last a much longer time than different stuff of the past.
That's great to hear. Let me ask you, the business of metal, being that you've been there for the last 25 years, how much has it changed? And has it changed along with the band or against the band?
Well, the business has changed. You're definitely right. I think that's the main thing, was what has changed everything. Yeah, you know, the record companies, the publishers, and all that stuff. I'm a lucky guy because when I started to grow up with the music, with the business, one of the first things I learned is to learn as much as possible about the business. So I'm the lucky guy who is a publisher, a producer. I got my own record label, and I got my own production studio and stuff like that. So I'm a little autark, you know what I mean? But the main problem at the moment is that young bands, creative bands, and nobody cares how good they are, because they will never have a chance to grow up in maybe in a way we had the chance 20 years ago. So because it's the internet has changed everything, to the good parts, to the bad part as well, and that's a very sad story. That's nobody knows how many good musicians there will out, because nobody will ever know their name. You know, there's no advertising anymore, there's no marketing anymore by the companies, because they don't own money anymore. Right. And it's a very hard thing, and most of the bands don't know how to promote themselves or don't have the money to promote themselves. And so I think it'd be a very big problem for the future to get some professional musicians.
It's a double-edged sword, this internet, because you get exposure for bands on the internet, but then again, bands aren't getting signed today like they used to. What is happening, actually, is a lot of bands are taking their own destiny into their own hands and making and producing and releasing their music themselves. And that's the way it has to be done in this day and age, I think.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. But, you know, you need a lot of practice and a lot of, you need a second wind to stay in the scene, yeah? And first of all, if you're going to do your promoting by yourself, the producing by yourself, you have to learn a lot.
Sure.
You have to learn tons of stuff. And when the people ask me, well, how long did it take to become a producer? I said, well, all in all, about 10 years. I said, yeah, you're kidding. I said, no, I'm not kidding. I started by cooking coffee in a studio and standing in the back while the big guys moving all the knobs on the mixing desk and stuff like that. And sometimes I did two steps forward and say, why did you do that? And when he was in a good mood, he explained. When he was in a bad mood, yeah, he only gave a short view to me, and I went back in the corner where I have to stay. And so that's the only way to learn. How to work with a mixing desk, for example. And the same is for business, for recording business, for music marketing as well. And I'm not that sure if anybody of the young guys is willing to spend that lot of time in learning. And we'll see.
Yeah, it's not as easy as people may think it is, right?
Oh, no, it's horrible.
So you mentioned about having your own record label. What's the name of your record label?
It's Humbucker Music.
It is, all right. So Domain is on that label then?
Well, some parts of the albums are on that label.
I see.
Because it's a very small label, to be honest, yeah. And I don't have these big budgets to put in my own band or in other bands. And so I always try to give the Domain album to bigger companies with bigger marketing budgets and stuff like that. But maybe in the future, I'm pretty sure that the upcoming Domain albums maybe will be released on Humbucker Music as well, because the small labels can't work anymore. There are only some major stuff left. And if you're not on the big five, you're not existing. You see, all these independent labels, the small ones, are always pretty close to get bankrupt. And I think that the future will be in doing it by your own. And I learned a lot, and I think I can do it pretty well in this way.
I have faith that you could do that, bro. You know, fans out there want to know what is next for Domain. Is there any new music being made for the next Domain CD?
Yeah, we're working on new material. We're collecting ideas at the moment, and I hope that maybe in autumn this year, the new album will be recorded. Because in the meantime, I got a lot of work with Gravedigger, and we're doing the. We'll talk about it later, of course.
Of course.
I think the next 6-7 months will be up to Gravedigger, because there's a lot to do, great stuff to do, great touring. And I think I won't find the time to work on a new Domain album in the meantime.
That makes a lot of sense, of course. Where can fans purchase and find Domain merchandise? You have some websites for us?
Yeah, I got some websites. A good thing is the people can contact me directly. Yes, indeed, I got 6 Facebook accounts, but nobody can imagine. But I take care of them all by myself.
Wow.
So if anybody is writing me an email or a letter via Facebook, for example, or via my website, it really comes to my hands, and I really take care of that. Of course, you can buy all Domain records in regular stores on Amazon, on iTunes, or whatever, but you can do a physical copy by myself as well. So the easiest way would be to go in the online shops on www.xroot.com, for example, or get in contact with me directly, and I'll tell the people how to buy them, maybe with a signature or stuff like that.
Yeah, that's cool. I do want to tell the fans, definitely contact Axel, because he's one of the guys that are, you know, one of the musicians that actually do respond, and that's a very cool thing that you do, bro.
Yeah, that's the main thing. You see, it's all about fans. That's the main people who make the world go round for a musician. And I can understand why lots of my colleagues are that arrogant with the fans. And I always try to be nice and to be patient and everything. And 0.9% of the fans are really nice people. So why shouldn't I be a nice guy for them as well, you know?
That makes a lot of sense, bro. How about we crank up some more Domain and Gravedigger at this time, and when we come back, we could talk something, some more about Gravedigger. How about that?
That's great. Sounds good for me.
All right, Axel. Thank you so much. And let's crank up some more Gravedigger and Domain. Double Your Pleasure from Germany. Welcome back, Metal Maniacs, and welcome back, Axel, Killer Tunage. Is this latest release from Gravedigger your first appearance on CD with them?
That's right. Yes, it's my very first CD with Gravedigger. The Clans Will Rise Again. The second one is On the Road. It's a DVD. It's a live recording of the legendary Wacken Open Air in 2010, where the band performed the complete Tunes of War album with a lot of guest stars. We got Doro, for example. We got the Funkanto singers all doing the backups. And we got Hansi Kirsch of Blind Guardian, for example. And you can see some snippets in the internet by YouTube, for example, and that's a great thing. And it will be released, I think it's March 5th. And stay tuned, that's a big thing.
Okay, we'll have to keep our eyes open for that. Very cool. Can you share with us, Axel, what led to you joining Gravedigger?
Well, it's a funny story, because in 2009, my predecessor Manish Schmidt left the band, and Chris Boltendahl, the main man of Gravedigger, he gave me a call. He was in Greece, for example, in vacation, and one day my telephone rang, and I got Chris on the other side, and I said, "Hey, Axel, we got a problem. Manish left the band, and we had some books. Some shows booked already, and we need somebody who will perform the shows together with us for the rest of the year. It's some shows in South America, for example, and some in Europe." I said, "Well, yeah, I like it. Why not?" And I said, "Okay, please, this is the list. Please have a look at these albums, and we're going to do a rehearsal in 3 weeks." I said, "What? 3 weeks?" "Yeah, I'm sorry. I have to learn 20 songs in about 3 weeks. Is that possible?" "I think I will make it possible." And so I did nothing else in 3 weeks than learning Gravedigger songs. And we did the shows together. It was a great feeling, great shows. And I know Chris Boltendahl for, well, 2 decades, 20 years. And we worked together in some business stuff. He got a promotion company, and I with my companies, my music production and stuff like that. And but we never worked together in a band, only on the business scene. Yeah. And all the other guys we've met at the Music Mess of Frankfurt, for example, and said hi. But there was nothing deep in between. It was only hello. And but it went very well. And so at the end of the year, the band asked me, "You want to be a permanent member?" I said, "Yes, I like it. I love it. I like the guys. I love the music." So I think it's the right thing at the right time. And it's working pretty well. It's almost a year ago.
Yeah.
I see.
It was.
Well, the time is.
Yeah.
Time is moving that fast. It's unbelievable.
Time flies when you're having fun, and it was your destiny to be part of Gravedigger.
Yeah, it's a big history of the band, the big name in power metal and true metal era and worldwide. And so it was a great challenge for me to play a different style of music. But, well, we all grew up with the same kind of music, you know. We were all kids of the 80s, and we grew up with Maiden, with Priest, and all these bands. And so in the end, it only took a few hours to get together and make the thing rolling, and we're rolling pretty well.
Yeah, awesome, bro. I believe The Clans Will Rise Again is only the second CD from Gravedigger in all of the Gravedigger CDs to actually have dual Axemen on it. Am I correct about that? I think the other one was the previous.
Two X-Men or one X-Men?
Dual. Two X-Men. I think that the first one was the previous album. I think Ballads of a Hangman was the first album by Gravedigger to actually have two guitarists on it.
Yeah, well, I'm the only guitar player in the band. It's not only that Manny Schmidt left the band, Tilo Hermann left the band as well.
Oh, wow.
So they lost two guitar players in 1 year.
I didn't realize that. So you're the only guy that plays guitar now?
I'm the only one. I have to play for two.
You are Superman.
Yeah, but that's no problem, because Gravedigger was always a band with only one guitar player. All the big hits have been recorded with one guitar player, so it's no problem for me to do the sound of the classical Gravedigger stuff. Yeah, Tilo Hermann, the second guitar player, was only for 1 year and one album, and then they decided that one guitar player is doing pretty well for Gravedigger.
Well, I gotta tell you, I love what I'm hearing on the Cleanse Will Rise Again, and I would have to say, definitely one of not the my favorite Gravedigger album. And knowing that you're the only one on there, I thought it was two guitarists on that. It's amazing sound. I had no idea.
Yeah, well, we try to let it sound like two guitar players. We got two different amps, one on the left, one on the right side here. So maybe you can imagine that it could be two guitar players, but if you listen carefully, you hear that's the same kind of playing, the same kind of riffing, and it's only one guitar player doubling his stuff.
I see, okay. Well, I imagine you and the band are pretty busy now performing live. What bands have you been out there touring with?
Well, we got a lot to do this year. Exactly, we got a world tour 2011, and the tour will start in Russia in February.
Wow.
And we're gonna do about 10 dates in Russia and Belarus, and then there's a short break of about 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, and then we're gonna tour Europe. We got Germany, Switzerland, France, we got Spain, Italy, Slovakia, Slovenia, Czech Republic, and then we got the festival season. We got the Bloodstock Festival at the moment. We got two or three different festivals in Germany. I'm sorry, I did forget the names, but there's a lot of work at the moment. And in the mid, maybe in summer, we already start for the recording and songwriting process for the upcoming album.
Wow, so there's going to be another album coming out soon. Excellent.
It is.
Excellent. Any chance of the band coming to the USA for a tour?
I would love to. We're working pretty hard on it, but it always depends on the local promoters, you know, and that's the main thing. Yeah? It only makes sense if we got guys on the other side who are working pretty hard to doing a good tour. And so I know the band has been in America a few years ago, and would love to tour the U.S., of course. And we're working on it, and maybe we're all lucky to make it happen, but at the moment, there are no actual dates. I'm so sorry for that.
All right. Well, we have something to hope for and something to look forward to, hopefully, down the road. Let us know, how does it feel when you're out there performing these tunes live with Gravedigger?
Well, it's a great feeling. As you can imagine, yeah.
I would, yeah.
The funny thing is, it's always the same feeling. It's the same standing in front of 700 or 70,000 people. You see, for example, the Wacken Open Air, it was pretty close to 100,000 people screaming and yelling and singing the whole album. It was unbelievable. I've never had an experience like that. But when we're doing the club tours, and you got maybe 400 people in front of you, and they're doing the same stuff the 70,000 people do, it's exactly the same for the artist. We had some at the end of last year. We had two great shows in Switzerland and Germany, and the crowd went crazy, and we got a great show and a great feeling. And so it's independent how big the crowd is, as long as the people got the fun. And this get into the artist, yeah, and there's a chemical reaction. I can't explain it exactly, but it's a great feeling, and a great band and great musicians. And so as long as we're all the same mood, and that's most of the time, it's pretty fine thing.
Well, that's pretty important, I'm sure. I bet they're out there screaming your name too, Axel. I can just imagine.
Maybe sometimes.
You have some links for us where fans can purchase Gravedigger merchandise, whether it be DVDs or CDs or T-shirts or what have you. You have any links for that for us?
Yeah, well, of course you can buy any Gravedigger album man. The DVDs in the local shops in the worldwide. You get them all on Amazon and iTunes as well and stuff like that. To be on the very safe side, it's always a good thing to visit the official Gravedigger website. It's www.grave-digger-clan.com. And so there are shirts. There's a typical complete web store for the band. So if you're interested in something special, I think that's the best address to get everything. But the albums, the band is at Napalm Records. Napalm Records is a worldwide acting company. We got distributions all over the world in every country. So I think it shouldn't be a problem to buy an album directly by the band. But as I told you before, the people can go in contact with me directly if there are some questions or whatever, and that's no problem. I'll take care of that.
Excellent. That's the way to go. Axel, would you be kind enough to share with us your thoughts and opinions on file sharing and downloading?
That's the very big thing.
Oh, yeah.
A very big question at the end of the interview.
Yeah, well, it's a very popular thing that goes on, and I always ask this question because it's amazing. I get different thoughts and opinions. So this is all about you and your thoughts and opinions. Whether you like it or you don't like it, you can say whatever you like. If it pisses you off, or if you think that it's a good and a bad thing, whatever you feel about it. I'm just curious to know what your thoughts are on it.
Well, you see, I can give you a friendly answer, or I can give you an honest answer.
I want the honest answer.
the honest one.
The honest, yes. Tell us how you really feel.
To be honest, it absolutely fucks me up. It fucks the whole scene up. It fucks every of my colleagues up. And anybody I ask and I'm talking to who is working in the professional scene is of the same opinion. It's definitely horrible. I know. If I would be a music fan, I don't have any money. Okay, of course, I know. Yeah, and I understand how the people think, but so many things have changed in the last year, and the main problem is that the people who steal the songs. I'm sorry to say, but it's stealing. It's like going to a bakery, taking the bread, went out of the house and said, I'm sorry, but I'd like to have this bread.
That's a perfect analogy, actually. Yes, that's a perfect analogy.
And that's the main thing. And we've talked about the problems with the record companies. You know, they got no marketing budgets anymore. They got no promotion anymore. That's the main thing, because they don't sell any albums anymore, so they don't have any money anymore. They're going bankrupt, and all the new bands, the new artists, the next generation, they don't get the money they need that important to grow up, to get some marketing, to get their name worldwide. No, and that's the main thing.
Yeah.
They don't know that by stealing the music, they're gonna kill the complete music scene. And in the end, we got Lady Gaga for everybody.
Oh, damn.
that's the problem. You only got these, as you said, the American Idol stuff and the pop stuff, the very low stuff. Yeah, was running in the elevator in the back. And good artists, critical artists, whatever, they won't be, nobody knows about them because they will be no money to give them some marketing and some promotion, and that's the bad thing. It's not because of maybe Rolling Stones also got a little less money or whatever. It's all about the new bands, the small bands, and so that's a very big problem. And as long as nobody and the politicians is able to see these problems and to take care of that, and as long as everybody in some countries of this world, for example China or Russia or whatever, where there's no laws against these stuff, there will be, the whole music scene will break down. I'm the lucky one, you know. I'm an old guy. I knew the golden ages of the music business and all of that.
Yeah.
But when I'm going to talk to a 20-year-old guy and I'm telling what I've, how it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago. He's always, he thinks, I'm kidding.
Right.
I'm joking. No. I said, man, you can't expect how many budget we had in these days, yeah, to make a record sound good and stuff like that. That's all gone. And that's the problem of the file sharing.
Yeah, the new bands today, they don't know what the word advance means, because it doesn't happen in this day and age.
And we got, I've talked to a label guy a few weeks ago, and I said, well, do you remember the time where the record manager said, oh, we need a new album. We need 3 songs as a demo. As a demo, yeah? Not as a final production, a demo. Well, here, take this money, take about 10,000 and do some, let's say 3 songs as a demo. In these days, you have to serve 2 complete productions for the same budget, yeah? It's incredible. Incredible what has happened.
Some bands today are trying to put an end to this file sharing and downloading thing by watermarking their CDs. Some bands, some labels have actually sent me music through the internet in MP3 format, of course, and letting me know that these are watermarked CDs and I can't share them with anyone. I can use them for airplay, but if I share it with anyone, they're going to know where this music came from. They'll trace my IP and hold me accountable. They want to hold people accountable for doing this downloading.
Yeah, that's a problem. The watermark stuff is we got some experience with this stuff as well. We did it in our songs, and we got a journalist. Can you imagine a journalist who got the album in advance? Yeah, and what did he do? 4 weeks before release, he put the whole album on a file sharing server. A journalist
who
should write a review about it. Yeah, and so we got him, and what has happened? Said, I'm sorry, I got no money, and that's it. So we got the lawyers, we got the whole stuff, and the whole costs, and nothing has happened.
Yeah. Sad but true, right? Sad but true.
It is.
What do you do in your spare time, Axel? Do you have any free time?
What do you think by spare time?
I think you do internet. I think you answer emails in your free time. That's basically what I think you do. But other than that, I wouldn't know if you have any free time, you know?
You should ask my wife. I think she's the only one who knows what I'm doing.
Right? Well, next time I have you on the show, maybe I'll have her with you, and we could do an interview like that. She could tell us what you're doing.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm working 90 hours a week, so it's all about music, about business, about social network and stuff like that. Yeah, and so in the spare time, I'm very much into animal shelter. Maybe you've recognized, and we got some animals as well: dogs, cats, horses, and stuff like that.
Ah, that's awesome.
And,
that's awesome.
So that's the only thing who is a little bit away of music and business, but I think that's the only thing.
Well, that's good. That's cool. I can appreciate that. Do you ever get a chance to listen to internet radio, Axel?
Sometimes I tried, yes.
Uh-huh.
And but to be honest, there are so many tunes out there, and so many stations, and it's sometimes very difficult for me to find the right station. But I got some experience with it, and I like it a lot.
Cool, excellent. Would you like to share your thoughts and opinions on internet radio and what it means to you?
Well, I think the only restriction internet radio still got is that you can't get in your car. As soon as there will be a way with wireless LAN, for example, to put the internet radio into your car, the regular radio is gone, definitely.
Yeah, I would hope so.
The last stuff which has to be changed, yeah.
I don't think we're far away from that. It's probably being in the works as we speak. Hopefully.
Yeah, I've heard about that as well. In Germany, they're working on it, but you know Germany. Germany is that as long as there are some restrictions, we are the first who are going to do it. And so I hope America will be a little bit in front, and will, as every time, a little bit in the past. But I think it will work someday.
I hope so. Axel, is there anything that you'd like to tell your fans, fans of Domain, fans of Gravedigger, anything that you'd like to tell them at this time, the ones that are tuning in?
Well, if there's one thing left, I always tell the people, get your own opinion, get your own impression of the music you like. You know, there's so many people around who are always going to tell you that's crap and that's nonsense, that's the best and that's the worst and stuff like that. That's all crap, definitely. You have to make your own impression of the music you like, and as long as you like it, it's fine. Yeah, don't care about other people talking about music. Listen to the music you like, and give a shit about the rest.
Yeah, keep it true, right? Keep it true to what you like. Listen to what you like, and don't carry any trends, right?
Absolutely. It's your life, you know? It's only your life. It's not the life of the other guys. It's your life.
Well, Axel, I want to thank you again for taking the time to be here with me today. I've enjoyed talking to you. You're a great guy, and it's been a really great interview for me. I do appreciate it. And I think we covered a lot, at least till next time. But I want to make sure we got everything covered, so please, feel free at this time. If we haven't discussed anything that you want to bring out there, let's talk about it.
No, I'm fine, Dave. It was a great interview. I had a lot of fun.
Me too. And I definitely want to do this again. When the new Domain CD comes out, maybe we could do this again and talk about that CD. But like I had mentioned to you before, I only get to do this for 4 months out of the year, so we'll have to do it like in the wintertime, whether it's next winter or the following winter. But I definitely would like to have you on the show again, and I definitely appreciated your time to meet me here today. And before we go crank up some more Gravedigger, I just want to wish you and your bandmates and your family a very, very successful 2011. Keep it going. Keep doing what you do. And keep in touch. I'll definitely be in touch with you. Is it okay if I podcast this interview?
It's great. Absolutely.
I will send this.
And thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you. I will send the podcast to you when it's all ready to you on the Facebook, so your fans can check it out there and we can spread the word.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you again, bro. All right, Metal Maniacs, let's crank up some more Gravedigger now. Crank it up. Ah!